Hi, and welcome to the Good Health Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Good, a registered nutritional therapy practitioner and functional medicine practitioner. Join me as we explore thyroid, brain, and fatigue conditions with positivity. From Hashimoto's to multiple sclerosis, chronic fatigue to adrenal dysfunction, I've got you covered. With expert advice and tips to help you take action now and inspiring real patient stories from successful individuals who refuse to let their health hold them back. Start your journey to good health today. And don't forget to come and join the conversation on Instagram at good_health. That's G-O-O-D-E. Or visit my website at nicolegoodhealth.com to find out more. Welcome to today's episode of the Good Health Podcast. In these solo episodes, we do deep dives into a particular area to help you gain a better understanding. And today I want to deep dive into free radicals and oxidative stress. In order for us to do that, we're going to do a little mini recap first on what the mitochondria are and what energy is. Now, I know we've discussed this before, so we're going to keep this bit short, and then we'll get straight into talking about the free radicals and oxidative stress. So what are the mitochondria? The mitochondria are an organelle that are in cells of our body, most of our cells, pretty much all of them. And within the mitochondria, we have the biochemical process that is energy production. So it's what creates energy. Virtually every single cell in our body has mitochondria in them. So you have to think of them as the batteries and the engines that drive all of our cells. They're the powerhouses that allow us to produce energy. And energy is required for all of the biochemical processes in our body. So the mitochondria have a really important function to do. So how do they do this? They take nutrients from our food and oxygen, and they can convert that into cellular energy. So already we can see how the food that we eat is going to impact the mitochondria. If we've got poor food choices, or we've got poor lifestyle choices, or we've maybe got chemical exposure, then we get mitochondrial dysfunction. And that can lead into chronic illnesses. So making sure that we're eating appropriately and getting those right nutrients for our mitochondria into the diet so that they can do this process of creating energy is really important. Now, the mitochondria are also really unique because they have their own DNA. It's called mitochondrial DNA. And it evolved from ancient bacteria that formed a symbiotic relationship with our cells billions of years ago. And it is this uniqueness that enables them to generate energy through the process of oxidative phosphorylation. As we age, this mitochondrial DNA can experience damage, and that can result in more free radicals and oxidative stress. So this is why we need to understand the mitochondria to understand, to do a deep dive into the free radicals and oxidative stress. So the more a person protects their mitochondria, the better we're going to protect ourselves from free radicals and this oxidative stress, which we'll get into in a moment. So let's take a quick look at energy. So the energy that we're talking about here is adenosine triphosphate. So it's ATP. And this is the primary source of energy that these mitochondria, these specialized structures within our cells, are responsible for producing. The ATP that the mitochondria produce, it's used for so many different functions within the body. So things like your muscles contracting, hormone synthesis, maintaining body temperature. It's involved in every one of these processes that has to happen. Some of the things that we actively sort of make happen and some of the things that our body does automatically. So using that autonomic nervous system. But how much of this ATP do we actually need? Well, we can see how important the mitochondria are when we look at this question. We actually need our own body weight in ATP every single day. So that gives you a rough idea of just how important it is that this biochemical process in our body is working effectively. In order for it to work effectively, our mitochondria have to be working effectively. So when we think that these mitochondria are something so small that they fit inside the very tiny cells in our body, and yet they have to produce our body weight in ATP, that makes it sound even more astonishing that they can manage to do this. Some vitamins, so if we take things like vitamin D, they can be stored in the body. And if you get enough vitamin D in the summer, which many of us don't in the UK, but if we do, you can store it for use over winter. This can't happen with ATP. So we need our body weight daily. We have to do this every single day. And this means that our mitochondria must function every second of every day for your entire lifetime in order for us to get enough of this energy. Making ATP is so important that the mitochondria account for 40% of each heart muscle cell and around 25% of each liver cell. So 40% within the heart, within each muscle cell in the heart, 40% of that cell is made up of mitochondria. So it shows you how many of them we need in order to get enough of this ATP. So let's have a look at the topic of today, which is free radicals and oxidative stress. And let's look at how this links in with the mitochondria and the energy. So when this chemical reaction takes place to produce energy, a byproduct of this is the production of something called free radicals. So if you think of the mitochondria as the engine, the free radicals are the fumes that are going to come out of the exhaust. But of course, in our bodies, we don't want these fumes just circulating. So the free radicals can just roam around and they have to be neutralized. They need to be mopped up. If they aren't mopped up, they will cause damage, which we refer to as oxidative stress. When we're talking about free radicals and oxidative stress, the free radicals are the byproduct of the chemical reaction. They're the actual molecule. And the oxidative stress is the damage that they cause. So if we go back to our analogy, the mitochondria are the engine. The free radicals are the fumes that are going to come out of the exhaust. And the oxidative stress, we can think of this as rust within our engine analogy. So to put it in really simple terms, mitochondria are going to power the energy, which produces fumes, which is the free radicals, which if they are not cleaned up, not eliminated, is going to cause rust to the engine and the whole process starts to break down. So what are free radicals? Free radicals are atoms or molecules that contain unpaired electrons in the outer shell. And this makes them highly reactive. So you're going back to some of your high school chemistry here. So if we've got these unpaired electrons in the outer shell, this molecule is very highly reactive. And they can be generated from various sources, so including normal cellular metabolism, environmental pollutants, radiation, toxins. So lots of different things can produce them. Free radicals are, they're unstable and they're going to seek to stabilize themselves. So they do this by stealing electrons from other molecules. And that then makes them more stable. It pairs that electron in the outer shell. So the free radicals have got this unpaired electron. They're going to try and steal one from somewhere else in order to become more stable. The process of that stealing of electrons can actually lead to oxidative damage, and it can actually lead to the formation of new free radicals. So it's a very vicious and very highly reactive sort of cycle, because as we are pairing an electron in the outer shell of one, they're stealing it from another. So we're creating more free radicals all the time. While some free radicals play an important role in cellular signaling, immune defense, excessive free radical production can cause oxidative stress and can contribute to the cellular damage, inflammation, and disease. Now, this cellular damage can, for example, be cell death. If this happened, let's take an example of this happening in the brain. This has been linked to the onset of neurological conditions such as Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's, and multiple sclerosis, as well as being linked to many of the aging symptoms that we've just come to expect. But we really don't have to normalize these things. And this is where this sort of longevity medicine and preventative medicine comes into play, because we can actually protect our mitochondria and therefore protect healthy aging. Free radicals is the term that you're probably likely to hear most, and it's really important that you have an understanding of what they are. You may also hear about reactive oxygen species, and these are one type, so they're one subset of free radicals that contain oxygen. As you'll remember from when we were just talking about the mitochondria a moment ago, the mitochondria take your food, nutrients from your food, and they take oxygen in order to create energy. Oxygen used with the nutrients from our food generates this ATP through that oxidative phosphorylation. So when we're talking about mitochondria, sometimes you'll hear people talking about reactive oxygen species. So this is this type of subset of free radicals where oxygen is being used. So if you hear that term, we're still talking about the same thing. It's just that oxygen is involved in that process. New research has gone on to show that oxygen and high energy electrons leaking from damaged mitochondria is actually one of the primary sources of oxidative stress that causes cell damage. And this is worsened in people who don't have diets that provide enough of the right nutrients to support the mitochondria. Now, this sounds like a bad thing, but it's actually a really positive thing, because what it means is that if we eat the right foods and if we give our body the right nutrients, we can actually really impact mitochondrial health. So we can actually support our mitochondria. And that's why it's really important to understand these terms, understand what these things do, understand the mitochondria, and know what nutrients we want to be able to eat for them. So an example of this in the research is that we found that people who take statins can quite often have depleted CoQ10, so coenzyme Q10. They have higher levels of this damage, of this oxidative stress. We can help, we can support that by making sure that those people are getting enough CoQ10 in the diet. So whilst it might sound like it's all a bad thing, there are lots of things we can do, and diet plays a big part in helping to improve this. So we've seen this damage that can occur if we don't look after our mitochondria. Now, the good news is there's lots we can do to support this. We can counter the damage that is caused by free radicals. And this is where antioxidants come in. You've probably heard of antioxidants. But just to run through what they are, antioxidants are substances that will prevent or slow down the damage to our cells that is caused by these free radicals. So you remember how we were talking about the free radicals having the unpaired electron, which makes them reactive, and then they can cause the damage. Well, antioxidants can actually pair up with the unpaired electron, effectively neutralizing that risk of damage from the free radical. It also then means it prevents them from stealing an electron from somewhere else and making that into a free radical and making that stable. So we help to stop that vicious cycle. Now, when we're talking about antioxidants, we actually have both endogenous and exogenous antioxidants. Endogenous just means that they are produced in the body, and exogenous just means they come from outside the body. So we have to consume them. Now, glutathione is our master antioxidant. Glutathione, much like the mitochondria, it can be found in almost every cell in the body. However, it is impacted by things like poor nutrition, stress, lack of sleep, illnesses, environmental toxins. There's lots of things that can lead to lower levels of glutathione in the body. So the balance between these reactive oxygen species or free radicals and antioxidants is really essential for mitochondrial health and for cellular function and for energy. What things are powerful antioxidants? What things can you get into the diet? We're talking about things like coenzyme Q10. We're talking about vitamins such as vitamin C and vitamin E. So making sure you're eating lots of foods with these things in. We're talking about polyphenols such as green tea and berries and dark chocolate. They're all really powerful antioxidants. Even actually the resveratrol that we find in red wine and red grapes, that's also really important as an antioxidant to have in the body. So as well as getting those antioxidants in there, we need to look at cofactors. We have cofactors for antioxidant enzymes. So in order to allow these things to work, in order to, for these processes to happen, cofactors are things that are also required for those processes. So in this scenario, things we're looking at are things like selenium and zinc. It's really important that we make sure that we get enough antioxidants in the diet, and also that we've got these cofactors going in there. Let's have a look at what foods you can eat to get these nutrients in. CoQ10 foods, we're looking at things like your oily fish, things like your salmon, your mackerel, your herring, tuna, trout, all of those. We're looking at organ meats, if that's something that you eat, so things like liver, and things like whole grains. We also have some vegetarian options, so things like your broccoli, things like peanuts, things like oranges. So all of those all contain really good amounts of CoQ10. So vitamin C, we're thinking lots of citrus fruits, things like oranges. We're looking at peppers, some of the berries like strawberries and blackcurrants, broccoli, Brussels sprouts. All of these are going to contain lots of vitamin C. And then we want vitamin E foods. So we want things like sunflower seeds and almonds and peanuts and spinach, pumpkin, red bell peppers, asparagus, mango. So lots of these foods are full of vitamin E, and we want to get lots of those in the diet. Then we need to be thinking, as well as those polyphenols that we've already mentioned, those things like green tea and the berries and the dark chocolate and the resveratrol, like the red wine and the red grapes. We want to be thinking about those cofactors. So we want the selenium in there. So with selenium, we're thinking organ meats, seafood, and Brazil nuts. So most people go for Brazil nuts. Other foods that also have selenium are things like poultry, other red meat, and eggs as well. And then the other cofactor we're looking at is zinc. So zinc, really high sources of zinc is in things like oysters, but it's also found in red meat and in poultry. We can also find it in other seafoods. And if you are wanting vegetarian options, things like your nuts, whole grains, and dairy products, if you're not vegan and you eat some dairy. So they're the foods that you can eat to get those in there. It is really important that we focus on making sure that we've got these antioxidants in the body, that we're helping to protect the mitochondria, because the health of the mitochondria really is directly linked to the health of our cells. And that's linked to the prevention of illness. So the cells in our brain, our nerves, our hearts, our gastrointestinal tract, and our muscles all have particularly high levels of mitochondria because they need so much energy, so much of that ATP in order to function optimally. And we've seen how much of that ATP we need. We need our body weight every single day. But this also means that they are more at risk of damage and decline in function. So it's really important that we make these nutrition and lifestyle choices that can help support our mitochondrial health and help impact the speed of this damage so that we can slow things down and help mitochondria to function well for longer. I hope you've all found this deep dive into free radicals and oxidative stress really useful. And I hope that you're walking away with a bit more of an understanding of why we talk about these things and why it's important that we look after our mitochondria. You can get those foods into the diet really, really easily and take some steps to starting to work on that today. I'll be back next week with another great guest episode of the podcast, and we'll have another solo one the week after that. I'll see you again soon. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Good Health Podcast. Do share the episode with anyone who you think it may benefit or who may enjoy it. And help me spread the word by rating the episode or leaving a review. If you want more, you can find other episodes in the series on your podcast app or sign up to my free newsletter. Not only will you get information on new episodes launching, but we cover lots of health topics with the Ask Nicole section where you can send in your questions, my favorite recipes, my favorite products, tips and tricks to help you on the road to good health, and much more. You can sign up free of charge at nicolegoodhealth.com/newsletter, also linked below. I hope you have a lovely week. Don't forget to hit subscribe, and I'll see you next time.